Today, in today's passage, I want to try to preach on three ways that mark the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to start out with a little analogy. You might have been to a jewelry store. You might have heard that jewelers do this. They lay that black velvet out, don't they? Then they put those diamonds on it. The reason being, it has a dark background so that the brilliance of those diamonds will really shine bright, shine forth. You can really notice them, really stand out against that black backdrop. So today I want to point out in Ephesians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, please go ahead and turn there, Ephesians chapter 2. Point out three ways that mark the life of the follower of Jesus. We have the way of sin. This passage points out the way of sin, the way of salvation, and also the way of service. And how Paul, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, beautifully ties all three of these together. So I'm going to try to make that clear to you. Let's look at the first three verses, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now Paul says here, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Very simply, the way of sin leads to death. Over my life, I've seen a lot of dead bodies. I worked as an EMT for a few years before the military and had those experiences. Served in combat units in the military. And I'm not trying to be callous and I'm not trying to be lighthearted about it, but I can tell you very quickly that a dead person cannot do anything to help themselves at all. I've seen, never seen a dead person do anything other than death itself, actually. This truth is at the heart of what Paul is saying here in this passage. And as we study this passage, I want you to keep that in mind also. And Paul says that here, verse 1, that those of us who are followers of Jesus were once in the past, were once dead. Why are we dead? Because of trespasses, because of our sins. Rather than living as those who were in Christ, we were dead to those, or as those rather, we were dead as those who were in sin. Now the Apostle Paul says elsewhere in Romans 6:23, for the wages or payment of sin is what? Death. Wages of sin is death. The Old Testament proverb teaches us in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the way of sin is death. Paul goes on to describe the characteristics of being in sin and trespasses. Paul says here in verse 2, that we walked in these ways and that these ways were according to the course or according to the ways of this world. These are not the ways of the heavenly kingdom. These are not the ways of God. He says that these ways are also according to the prince of the power of the air. It's generally accepted that Paul right here is speaking about Satan, speaking about the devil himself. Satan is not the ruler of all things, but he has been given limited dominion, been given limited power for a limited time. When we are in sin, we are in the ways of Satan. Who is the ruler of the power and of the air. It's important to realize that when we are living this way, the way that we did before Jesus changed us, we were living in death. We were living in evil. We were living in sin and trespasses before Christ was ever a part of our lives and we were ever part of His. Finally, Paul says here that when we were living the old way, we were living in the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Rather than living with the seal and the inheritance of the Holy Spirit, We were dead and led by the spirit of disobedience, the spirit of evil, the spirit that goes against God's ways. Remember, it sounds bad, but I'm painting that black backdrop for you. So now Paul doesn't want the Ephesians to think that he's being too hard on them, though. Here in verse 3, he says this, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh. Paul is basically saying, hey, I'm right here with you. Notice he uses we and us in there. I'm right here with you, Paul says. He also said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. Fall short of the glory of God. Jewish, Gentile, Israelite, Roman, slave, free, no matter your income, no matter your ethnicity, no matter your background, we who are in Christ were previously in sin. We all walked according to the way of this world. None of us can say, well, you know what? Before I met Jesus, I was pretty good. I was pretty good. None of us can say that. We were all dead and walking according to the ways of evil. Paul then characterizes the ways of this world in which we live. He says that we lived in these ways, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Paul didn't say that we accidentally sinned, did he? No. Or even that we regretted our sin of those times past. Rather, these were the ways that we desired. These were the inclinations of our hearts and the inclinations of our minds. In fact, we wanted to sin, living in that dead spiritual death of sin. He says further, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Even as others. Our very nature was godlessness, it was sinfulness, it was death. We were children under the wrath of God. We were on a straight road to judgment, to wrath, and to hell, as all the others who were also like us were on the same road. So you might say, come on, brother, lighten up. It's not that bad, is it? Yes, it's really that bad. It's really that bad. God doesn't tolerate any of our sinfulness. He doesn't tolerate any of our evil. He doesn't tolerate any of our deadness. Spiritual deadness. He judges sin, and we are utterly hopeless without Jesus in our lives. Paul also said in Romans 3:10, there was no one righteous. No, not one. No one. This is the way of sin. It leads to death, and the wrath of God is poured out upon sin. However, that was the past for those who are in Jesus, because now there is a way of salvation. So you can look at it maybe as past, present, and future today. So I explained our past. I brought out that dark velvet. Now let's look at the beautiful diamond that sets upon it from God Himself, the diamond of salvation. Let's look at verses 4 through 9. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show us the exceeding riches of His grace and in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When we were following the way of sin and death, God brought us a way of salvation. Aren't you glad for that? Paul starts off the next section with these words. Two small but very, very powerful words that Paul often uses throughout his 13 letters in the New Testament. But God. Church, but God makes all the difference in the world after what I've just finished explaining to you before. We were dead and totally unable to help ourselves. That was the condition that we were in. Apart from God. Living in sin, walking in spiritual death. We were dead and totally unable to help ourselves. But dead people cannot become undead, can they? But God can raise the dead. God can raise the dead. He has that power in His Spirit. Paul makes it very clear that here that God has intervened. There is nothing that we can do to save ourselves. It is all of God. Paul tells us here why God intervened on our behalf. Look at verse 4 again. God intervened for two reasons. He is rich in His mercy, and He intervened for His great love, wherewith He loved us. When we were in sin, we deserved God's wrath, we deserved death, we deserved separation from God. However, God is rich in His mercy, and He is rich in His great love toward us. Because of God, even though we were, verse 1, dead in trespasses and in sins, we have been made alive to live with Christ. What good news that is. This is all because of God's great love and mercy, Paul says here. He continues in verse 5. By grace ye are saved. At the very end of that verse. By grace ye are saved. We don't deserve it, and we couldn't earn it ourselves. Something that we could never earn. And this is a theme which Paul will come back to here in a moment. This theme of grace. So pay attention to this. Look in verse 6 here. We were not only made to be alive by the work of Jesus, but we were also raised up together, and He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You want to talk about grace? There's grace right there in that verse. We not only do not deserve new life, but we certainly don't deserve to be raised up in the heavens with Jesus. However, God is not doing this because we deserve it. He is doing this because of His great mercy, because of His great love, because of His amazing grace. That's why He is doing this. He does it for His glory. He is doing it by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. As we are raised up, as this verse says, raised up by the work of Jesus, we see a long-term reason why God does this. Look at verse 7. We are raised up that in the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of His grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Immeasurable, immeasurable riches of His grace. How wonderful and beautiful is the grace of God. God wants to continue to show us His riches of grace and His wonderful kindness. And then Paul returns to the theme of grace here in verse 8 and 9. I'll read those for you again. For by grace ye are saved, or are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Here it is. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. This is a very famous passage, and it's rightly so a very famous passage. This is the essence of the message by which we are saved from our sins. We are saved by grace through faith, and we didn't make it happen. God made it happen. God made it happen. There's nothing that we can do to earn it, and there's no reason that we should get any credit for it. Grace is unmerited or unearned favor, something that we don't deserve, but we get it anyway. It is God's gift. He's the one who initiated it. He chose us. He predestined us. He adopted us. He sent His Son Jesus Christ on the cross for us, called us by His Spirit, forgave us, makes us new, raises us up, sanctifies us, makes us holy, keeps us, and one day He says that He will glorify us in heavenly places. It's all God, and it's all for God's good pleasure. That's the amazing thing of it. All for God's good pleasure. We have no reason to take any kind of credit. God deserves all the glory. You and I were dead in our sin, but God made us alive in His amazing grace. Every now and then I hear these disturbing statistics, and one of them was that the average person in America who believes in heaven believes that if you do more good than bad, God is going to save a spot for you in heaven. If you do more good than bad. It's almost like scales, weighing out scales, which side there's more. Actually, in the Islam, that's how they view Allah, in the Muslim religion, that if they do it good enough, then they will be in heaven with Allah. But it's disturbing that the average person in America, though, would think that. And most religions in the world, actually, most religions in the world teach that you can get to heaven by doing works. You can work your way to heaven. But Paul wants to clear up this wrong idea. He's very straightforward about it. He says here that our salvation is not of works, lest any man can boast. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me, he says, by Jesus. It's only by God's grace through the work of Jesus Christ. Now, what about faith? Faith is also a gift from God. It's also a gift from God. Grace is the work of God, and faith has given us that ability to see that work and to believe it and to graciously receive it from the Lord himself. So both grace and faith are gifts from God, and we have no reason to boast. Paul says elsewhere in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, or maybe God forbid I should boast, save in the cross, except for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. May that be true for all of us as well this morning. Well, what happens after we are saved from our sin? We looked at, in the beginning, there was the way of sin, and now in our present time salvation, have been given that salvation. So what do we do after we are saved from our sin? I'm glad you asked that question. Let's look at our last section, the way of service. Verse 10 says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Thankfully, Paul tells us that something happens after we experience and are changed by God's grace. We live a life of service to God and to others through good works. First of all, notice that we are God's workmanship. By God's grace and God's work, not of our own, but through God's grace, we are like a skillfully built craft. Get my words mixed up. We are a skillfully built craft, or maybe an exquisite piece of fine art. I can look out through here right now, and some of y'all are more exquisite looking than others, I'll tell you that. That's why I'm married up, so I look good by my wife. But we are special. We are special in God's eyes. We are created to be in Christ Jesus, to be lovable, to be admirable, to be valuable, to be priceless works of God. These new creatures who he has made for his good pleasure. We are created in Christ. Paul then says that God has made us to be in Christ, and that is someone, once we are created new in Christ, that's someone who does good works. Now you might say, wait a minute, Brother Stephen, I heard you and Paul say before that we are not saved by our works. Why is Paul talking about good works now? Isn't that the same thing? No, it's not. Understand this. We are not saved by our works, but we are saved for good works. Does that make sense? We are not saved by our works, but yet we are saved for good works. Part of God saving us is that we might live as changed people with a new life. The new life is demonstrated by a changed life. This life is seen in our good works. If a dead person comes back to life, you're going to know it, aren't you? If the spiritually dead person is made alive in Christ, you should see that in their life of good and godly works. Remember what James says in chapter 2, verse 26. read that small but powerful verse. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works is dead, he says. The life of the follower of Jesus Christ is the way of service, serving God and serving others. A follower of Christ without service or good works is like roller skates with wheels that won't roll, or it's like a Dorito without a crunch to it. I hate that. It's like a preacher doesn't use the Bible to preach, or a house with doors that won't open, or a savings account that won't draw interest, or a hospital that merely houses people instead of making them better. It's all pointless. But we were created for these good works, and Paul even says that these good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Remember what Paul said in verse 4 of chapter 1. Let me read that for you. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Paul says that the wheels were in motion for salvation even before the foundation of the world. That is incredible. Well, part of that plan is us doing good works. And good works are not optional. They're an essential result of being changed and having a new life in Christ. And so you might ask, Brother Stephen, where do I start with these good works? What do I start doing? That's a good question to ask. We can be sacrificial with our time. We can help someone in need. We can mow a yard. We can serve in the food pantry. We can clean someone's house for them. Be sacrificial of our time. Be sacrificial of our giving. Be generous in our giving. Give towards the local church, your church here. Or give toward the need of someone that someone has. Spend less money on ourselves and more on other people. We can be sacrificial with our possessions. Let someone in need stay in your home. Take in a foster child. Let someone borrow your car. Let someone borrow your lawnmower. But be sacrificial in your possessions. Be sacrificial with our devotions. Devote time to pray for someone. Devote yourself to encourage someone. Devote yourself to visit someone who is sick. Devote yourself to listen to someone over the phone who might need someone to listen to. Be sacrificial with your behavior. Be patient with that server at the restaurant. Be forgiving to that neighbor you don't get along with. Be understanding with the person with whom you disagree. We can also be sacrificially gospel-minded. Be humble. Be merciful. Be loving. Be graceful. These are all good works that we can do. Be like Jesus, in other words. Be like Christ, who saved us from ourselves. Live a life of good works. Remember, good works don't cause us to be saved, but they demonstrate that we have been saved by the work of Jesus, and this is the way of service. The way of sin is gone. The way of salvation has changed us. And now we're in the way of service to God and service to others. I pray that this week God will richly bless you with his gracious and mighty mercies and love. Thank you for your time.